I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Noon hour is here.
Check it out.
And you're locked on to Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports radio station.
It's my station.
It's my station.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, bud, we'll go out and have a good show. Hands and Scotty.
Not today. Not like this.
97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're all well. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Doing good. How you doing?
Excellent. Doing great. Good weekend. A lot of good football. All kinds of fun stuff.
How was Boise? Did it treat you good?
No, it didn't treat me. No. Best view of Boise's in the rearview mirror. Okay. Boise itself. Boise's not a bad town. Boise's a good town.
Used to be. Well, I picked up herpes from some guy.
I did not have anything to do with this.
Boise. I'm pretty sure that that's not okay now with our current employer. By the way, I am going to be calling the hotline on you, Lloyd, because I don't appreciate that.
Get in line.
That thing has died and gone away, and I'm sure Tanya Vea heard you just play that and probably is not real appreciative of it. Would be my guess. Scotty?
I feel like Nate is going to give me a thumbs up.
I would highly
feel like I get a thumbs up from him.
By the way, that was in wrestling, and that quote came from about 17 years ago.
In fact, if he was here right here with me, 17. He'd probably give me a good game.
I highly doubt that. I would be shocked if he did. But Boise didn't treat you good, buddy?
No, it was fine. Good broadcast, fun game. A little bummed out that the score didn't indicate how close that game was. Because I think people look at that like, oh, okay, that was a blowout.
Oh, yeah.
When Utah State was 11 yards away from winning the game with a minute and a half left. And just couldn't punch it in. And then two gimme touchdowns on a end around and then a pick six kind of made that game look a little... worse than it was. But anyway.
How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. I mean, it was in Boise.
Yeah.
Came back, got the family together on Sunday. Oh, I forgot to tell you this. And I forgot to bring some in. Although I shouldn't have to because it came from your recipe. So I go to Costco to get see if they have some leftover turkeys or something like that.
Yeah.
Obviously nothing's there. It's all. But you know what they did have? A bunch of tri-tip.
Oh, yeah.
I fired up the marinade, and holy smokes, that's incredible.
Lloyd, have you tried the marinade?
I have not yet. It is on my
list. I didn't have all the elements to it, so there was some substitutions, but for the most part, I thought it was pretty good.
What?
I didn't have dried onions, but I used onion powder.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I've done the same.
What else?
You had the lemon juice.
I didn't have...
You had the soy sauce.
Yeah, I didn't have all of that. I didn't have... or minced garlic. So I just kind of went heavy on the garlic salt, you know. But I think for the most part, I had it.
Can you believe it's a half cup of garlic salt?
I know, right?
Half cup of garlic salt, half cup of pepper, Or no, is it a full cup of pepper? Half cup of pepper, I think.
Half cup of pepper. Half cup of... Oh, that's another thing. I use brown sugar. I didn't want to get the big old thing out of the white sugar, so I just use brown sugar.
So you made a couple of tweaks, but what'd you think?
Oh.
It's so unbelievable,
good.
Isn't it?
So good.
Lloyd, you got to try it. I'll send it over
and,
to you.
You sent it to me. Oh, okay. I think you shared it with
both of us.
Yeah,
no, it was with me, and
list.
You sent it to both of us. Because I couldn't find it, because I thought you would just send it to me, but then I found it on our little group chat, which is fortunate, because usually I delete the messages from that group chat on a nightly basis because of what Lloyd says.
Because of the things you say.
I always get a little nervous that I'll die in the middle of my sleep, and then my wife will be like, oh, and she'll be in mourning, and then she'll see some of the horrible things that Lloyd says in our group chat, and then she'll think less of me vicariously through Lloyd.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
And so... but yeah, I mean, so I smoked it pretty heavy for about an hour and a half, and then and then I fired up my flat top.
So you because
I
can't do this yesterday.
Yeah, I did it yesterday.
Okay,
I can't get
the griddle.
My smoker's really really old. It's an old pellet smoker. It's awesome for smoking, but I can't get it very hot anymore.
You have like four smokers.
Okay, that's not important. Don't worry about that part.
Oh.
Anyway, old reliable, old Bessie.
So Bessie.
She doesn't get that hot.
Yeah, but
like, she's great for smoking.
Pumps the smoke into it.
Perfect. She'll hold 225, great. But when you crank the heat, it won't get much past 375, 400. So I couldn't get it hot enough to get a really good sear, so I fired up my flat top and got the flat top like 600 degrees and threw them on there.
Let them rest. Sear. Do you wrap on the rest?
Normally I don't, but you told me to.
Yeah.
And so
foil,
I did.
I usually tinfoil wrap on the rest. So this is why I stopped doing, because I used to heat up my cast iron. And so I'd do the reverse sear. I'd smoke for an hour and a half to 2 hours. And then I'd take it off, usually take that thing off around 100 degrees internal. And then I would go heavy sear on both sides on the cast iron with a little bit of butter and garlic. And I found that it was tightening the meat up too much. That overly hot sear was tightening me up too much. So I started cranking my smoker up and putting it on at about 480 to 510, somewhere in there, and doing both sides for about 5 minutes till I'm get a 118 to 120 internal. Then I take it off and wrap it. And it's that typically works pretty good for me. Did the cast or did the griddle, did it tighten the meat too much, or did it stay pretty loose?
It was still pretty loose. In fact, it kind of almost had like a prime rib kind of feel
to
it.
Like a char?
Yeah, like a little, it was still pretty spongy.
It's a dang good marinade.
Yeah.
I'm going to stand by it with tri-tip. I don't think you'll find a better one. I actually think that marinade would be really good on a prime rib, too.
Yeah, I do, too. I'm telling you, though, I'm not going to lie, it felt a little sketchy when I was putting it together.
I failed on some poor man burnt ends over the weekend.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, and I acted to the party that was there eating.
You said you failed?
Yeah, I failed on some poor man burnt ends. Yeah.
How did you fail?
Yeah, like, shoe leather.
How did you do it?
Don't know why.
You know, I had that happen the first time I tried your recipe.
Yeah.
It didn't turn out.
Yeah.
And it was the meat, the cut of the meat? Was it the meat? Do you think that's what it was?
I can't tell. I'm trying to figure it out, and for the life of me, I can't tell, but it was not good. But I did nail some ribs. I nailed some ribs over the weekend. But Thanksgiving was lights out. Hey, how did the morning after do? Are we still doing okay with the morning after?
I mean, it is what it is, right?
We're still dabbling in the 40s, the 50s? We're still doing all right?
It was, you know, I feel like you fans showed up just a little bit to listen. But it's so-so.
Just want people to continue to go check out the Morning After podcast, because we're not going to quit. Because the three of us are a lot of things, but we are not quitters.
No.
We're tenacious.
You got some spicy reviews, did you not? Or some sizzling reviews?
Oh, sizzling. Yeah, I had I did one review came in and it was sizzling. Yes. I did retweet the review. Scotty, I was hoping that you didn't get mad at me, because I know you don't like when people retweet accolades, but I was like, the Morning After podcast doesn't get a ton of accolades. And I felt it was necessary to retweet the ones that we got.
I think that's important to do.
Yeah. So Morning After podcast is out there if you want to go check it out. Wow. There's a lot of sporting news.
Yeah. A lot to get to on the program, so let's get to it. Hans and Scotty right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
The lineup is set, and it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup, presented by Peach Windows and Doors. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right, a lot to get to. Utah's back in the Pac-12 championship game. Utah State loses a heartbreaker at Boise State. BYU finishes off the regular season with a win against Stanford. So they finish off the season 3-0. But last night, via social media, Elisa Tuiaki announcing that he is leaving BYU. Probably there were a lot of conversations involved from both sides on coming to that conclusion. But BYU is in the market for a new defensive coordinator, Hans.
My guess is when you see a defensive coordinator move, you probably see some other moves. So I don't think we're done with the moves. Probably letting everybody do it on their own time and announcements on their own time. But I can't imagine that it's just a defensive coordinator. Do you ever see just a defensive coordinator?
Well, no, because the defensive coordinator is going to want to come in and put his people in, too.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to want to bring his crew with him.
If you find a defensive coordinator that's worth his weight, usually they've got two, if not three, but two. Sometimes they want something in the strength and conditioning department or something in the video analysis department. Yeah. Sometimes they've got some personnel that they want to bring with them that they see as high potential. But my guess is this is just the tip of what we're probably going to see come down. With that being said, I think that there's some really good candidates out there. I tweeted out my list of favorites. I think Jay Hill is agent zero.
Yeah.
I think he is the one. If you can get him, get him. If you can bring him in, bring him in. And if I'm Kalani Sitake, I'm bringing Jay Hill in, and I'm sitting down with him, and I'm saying, Jay, let's build this together, man. Make you assistant head. I'll make you defensive coordinator. I'll give you whatever title you want. Let's do this thing together. Let's continue to build it because, hey, it's always good to have a couple minds in the office when you're heading to the Big 12. I put together that mock Big 12 schedule. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It is not going to be a lot of fun for BYU, and it would be really nice to have Jay Hill and some of Jay Hill's defensive staff, because Jay Hill's defenses have always been good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you'll never be able to poach him away just because the people that Jay wants, or the people that Kyle wants to keep, Kyle keeps. Mm-hmm. But I would call Jay, and then Colton Swan would be my next phone call.
Yeah. Love Colton Swan. Love Jay Hill. So, a couple things. Jay Hill's probably making in that.
And by the way, I meant Colton coming with Jay.
Not as the defensive coordinator.
Yeah. Although, you know, he probably deserves a shot at that here in the near future.
Well, we can get into the BYU offering Utah personnel and how that's gone in the past.
Not well.
Man, Utah does not like to lose that fight.
No.
And it's always interesting. I know there have been a couple of Utah coaches that have gotten a nice bump and a little bit of attention from that university. Because they're like, wait, who offered you? Oh, what's it going to take to keep you?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're going to increase the label. It's an upgrade. Want me to make one up for you? But here's more money. What's more important to you? Stability and money or a title? What's more important? It makes it really hard for BYU to go get some of these Utah coaches, especially with how successful Utah's been lately. But if you can go get a Utah coach, it's Lewis Powell. If you can go take any coach from that University of Utah defensive staff, it's Lewis Powell. He has been around everywhere. He's seen the national landscape, and he is one of the recruiting ingredients that is always underappreciated at the University of Utah. So he's got a lot of tentacles everywhere when it comes to recruiting. It feels like every time I'm hitting a source on a recruiting trail, it goes back to, oh, Coach Powell's been in that house. Coach Powell's been in this house. He's been in that house. he's always rumored or he's always attached to some major recruit. He's fantastic with that. So Lewis Powell, current defensive line coach at University of Utah, would be great. Frank Miley, you know Frank better than I know Frank.
Frank and I, we didn't have a chance to chat before the game, but we had a good conversation after that Utah State-Boise State game. I will admit, though, and I interacted with somebody on Twitter about this, when it comes to Frank Miley, I probably need to detach myself from the conversation because I know Frank too well. Like, Frank is a friend, and I will fight anybody who says anything bad about Frank. He is genuinely one of the best human beings on the planet. And if you're a BYU fan out there and you're hearing me talk about the praises of Frank Miley, just know my opinion on that's a little tainted. Yeah. I'll fully admit it. Full disclosure.
He's a great dude.
You will not, like, in this profession, you see a lot of guys that are really good at what they do. And then, but you also see a lot of people who are good at what they do, but are bad human beings. Frank Miley is a guy who's very good at what he does and is genuinely, and I don't say this lightly, is genuinely one of the better people, like just better human beings that you'll ever meet.
He is. He's spectacular.
You just don't see that in this profession.
Currently the Boise State assistant head coach and D-line coach. He does have some coordinating background, so Frank Miley would be a very good candidate for that. Kelly Papinga is at Boise State as well. Obviously, great lengthy ties and family ties to BYU. He is working with the edges at Boise State, so working mostly with the defensive ends, probably working with some outside linebackers in any type of rush situations.
And by the way, they've got some great ones at Boise State.
Yeah.
And he's developed, like, Scott Matlock and Noah, and you look at some of the other guys that they've had there at that position, they've excelled under him.
Kelly Papinga has been around the coaching world for a long time. Yeah. I want to say he worked with Kyle Van Noy.
Does that go back that far? That sounds about right. Yeah, I could see
kind of in that area, maybe Brian Kill.
He's been doing it for a long time.
Was at Virginia with Bronco and his staff. When Bronco uprooted, Kelly Papinga landed at Boise State. I really like him. You know, the one that's catching the most recognition, maybe the most interest from people around campus, is Sean Nua. Sean Nua, the current defensive line coach for USC, obviously many ties to the state of Utah, ties to Brigham Young University, and a very good dude as well. When it comes to two or three conversations I've had with former teammates, just in conversations of what does BYU need to do to progress, Sean Nua's name has come up many times.
Yeah.
As this is the guy that can actually make the differences with the pass rush, with the recruiting and the personnel in the pass rush. His name has been called many times. And those are conversations between me and former teammates at BYU that just swirl quite a bit. Another name, Justin Inna. You know Justin well.
You know Justin.
Was a defensive coordinator at Utah State for a year.
Yep.
And then kind of went on a tour. I think Eastern Washington, ended up at San Diego State.
Yeah, I think he was at Eastern and then Brady Hoke. I don't think he actually, did he finish a full season before?
I don't think so.
I think he like accepted the job and then Brady Hoke's like, no, 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 we need you down here.
And brought him down to San Diego State.
Yeah.
And he's done a really good job with that defensive line. But Justin Inna has got plenty of experience. Another name I want to throw out there, Lance Anderson, who's probably going to be looking for a job now that David Shaw has stepped away from Stanford.
Yep.
Lance Anderson was at Stanford for, 16?
Forever, it seems like,
18 years, something crazy like that. And he was the current defensive coordinator for Stanford. I know that right now that doesn't seem significant because that defense and that team is atrocious, but Lance Anderson had some very strong defenses when Stanford was in their rise. When they were in the middle of their strength and their praise, Lance Anderson had some really good defenses. And you talk about a guy that can recruit the state of Utah, he's taken, what would you say, 10 out of, let's say, the last 10 years, he's probably taken 10 of the top 10 talent out of the state of Utah?
Good chunk, yeah. I don't know what the number is.
I'm talking from each given recruiting class. Top 10 from each given recruiting class.
I'd say that's a fair... It's a
probably around 10.
Fair guess to make, yeah.
I know he's grabbed some really good talent out of the state.
Yeah. And certainly has a lot of ties to not only Utah, but Idaho as well. I mean, he's a tremendous, tremendous coach.
I think, was he a...
And knows the LDS community really well.
Did he grow up in Riggins?
Somewhere up there, yeah.
I know he's a Idaho born and raised. And
well, it was always interesting because there was a tight end that was going to, of all places, Gooding High School. And I know that there were some in-state people that thought they had a beat on him because you know, look, you go to Gooding High School. Gooding's in the middle of nowhere, right there by Declo, you know, on your either close to Twin Falls or past Twin Falls. But nobody goes to Gooding. Mm-mm. But anyway, there's this stud tight end that was just blowing up, but nobody knew about him. And there were some in-state schools thought, okay, we'll get this guy because he's LDS and nobody else knows about him. Well, all of a sudden, here comes Stanford trotting in with an offer.
Yeah.
And so Stanford offers, and the kid eventually ends up going to Michigan, of all places, because Stanford offers him. And, well, why? Because Lance Anderson
gets recognized.
Recognizes and is in the state and knows the state and can find talent. And boom, all of a sudden, this kid ends up going to Michigan.
Because there is talent in that state, man.
Yeah.
There's really good college talent in that state. If you got a guy that can sniff it out, and he comes across as a guy that can sniff it out. A couple of other recognitions. Jan Jorgensen, who was brought into BYU as an analyst and I think was working to try to help or assist or try to do anything that he could to help with that team. Jan Jorgensen was the defensive coordinator for Snow College for whatever it was, 6, 7, 8 years and did a spectacular job. I think that he needs to be interviewed. At the very least, he needs to be promoted and given an opportunity. Is there any others that I've missed?
Yeah, the one that really jumps out to me, and maybe you mentioned it and I didn't catch you, but the one that I think, honestly, would be my front runner.
Over Jay.
No. Jay's number one.
Okay.
If we're evaluating realistic candidates... Jay Hill is obviously number one, and there's a huge gap between one and two. But number two on my list, and this is, you know, everybody knows my love for Frank Miley, but would probably be Derek Odom of San Jose State.
Hmm. He's their current DC.
He's their current defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And frankly, if I had a job and I'm hiring a head coach, I'd probably make a phone call to San Jose State's head coach, Brent Brennan. Because what he's done at San Jose State, the poor position that program was in, and gets them to the point where they're going to bowl games, they won a conference championship 2 years ago, is remarkable. Like, they should not be doing that at San Jose State. And Derek Odom has a defense that when they played Utah State, they were plus 10 in the turnover margin because they were forcing all kinds of turnovers. They were only giving up 120 yards on the ground, only 200 yards. They had sacked the quarterback 32 times. And that was actually, add a few more onto that, because that was before the Utah State game, and they got, I want to say, 3 or 4 against Utah State. I mean, they're pushing nearly 40 sacks on the season at San Jose State. Junior Fajoko's incredible defensive lineman, Cade Holly, he developed some crazy studs on that defense.
Does he have, not that you need to have ties, because you don't. In fact, sometimes it's better to go out without ties.
He was on that University of Utah staff with Kalani. He and Kalani have ties together. He played at University of Utah. He was a coach at the University of Utah, coach at Utah State. So he and Kalani know each other. To me, Derek Odom seems like...
A really good fit.
A really good fit. And I would probably, on my personal list, I'd probably have him number two behind Jay Hill.
So it's interesting that you put numbers by it. And I would put Odom certainly in the top 3, top 4. But I really have got, I think we've all got Jay Hill number one. I think Lewis Powell would be a fantastic addition. And I would probably put Odom and Miley in there together.
Yeah.
You know, kind of neck and neck together. And then still leaving Sean Nua as a great option, Kelly Popinga, Justin Inna, Lance Anderson, and down the list. But Sounds like Odom's a winner.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's got guts. Sounds like he knows where some of the talent's buried. And BYU's got to get into that portal and identify some pass rushing talent, which is a tough thing to pull out of the portal, but Utah State did it.
Yeah. You can do it.
Grisiak was a fantastic find out of the portal. What did he end up with? Six sacks? Seven sacks?
Six or seven.
On the regular season?
Yeah.
He was a great portal grab.
And a guy that we
did put him in the 60 and 60.
We did. But a guy that was just kind of hanging in there with Nevada, waiting for his time to shine. And then when he got it, yeah, watch out. He was tremendous. So they're out there. They're absolutely out there. There are people that believe that there'll be 3,500 kids in the transfer portal. That's about 20% of every college football roster.
3,500. Wow. It's amazing how much this game's changed. I was watching the Manti Te'o special again.
Oh, yeah?
Yesterday. Hey, I watched the... What would you call it? The disgraced official... disgraced NBA official,
Tim Donaghy. I've downloaded that. I've not watched that. It's on my phone for a plane ride.
I watched it last night.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. It's so good. They went out and got the two guys that he was associated with. One of them was associated with the mafia.
Yeah.
The other one was the go-between. And they went and got both those guys for interviews, Scotty.
Wow.
So the guy that was actually the go-between with, I can't remember which top-end mafia official it was that he was tied in with, but they talked to him and they're like, it was incredible to hear Tim's side saying, I never threw a game. I just knew what officials had what relationships. And he's sticking to that. And then this mafia guy's like, no. That is not how it went. It was funny because they gave Tim Donaghy the nickname. They gave him a nickname that was like the GOAT, the closer.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was almost... He was at 80%. Anything that they put money on, he was at 80%. But they were putting $2 and $3 million per game on Tim Donaghy's picks.
Jeez.
And Tim was only getting $2,000.
Oh, what?
Yes.
Tim, no.
According to this documentary, he was getting $2,000.
A little lopsided.
Well, but here's the problem. Like, Tim goes to the mob and says, hey, you know what? You know, look, I'm making you guys a lot of money. Can I get a little increase? And like, okay, here's the thing. No, you can't. And your options are you just keep doing it for $2,000. Or you see the bottom of Lake Mead? That could be you. Or three, we'll just tell everybody what you've been doing and it'll wreck your life.
It's like the eight man out. Once you're in, you've got no other choice.
Yeah.
I don't even care. In fact, if you watch the movie, they pulled money. The guys were like, where's the rest of my cut? And like, you're going to take that because guess what? We have you now.
You guys need to watch this because it's brilliant. The mafia guy that he was tied into, that this whatever film association interviewed, he said, I never threatened him. Because Tim said, he said he's going to go to my house. And there's going to be some damage if I don't do this. The mafia guy was like, I didn't threaten him. He was more than excited. He said, you can always draw more flies with honey. And he was like, we just told him we'd make him some money. And he was all on board with it. It is one of the better documentaries I've watched. But anyways, I was watching the Manti documentary as well, again. And the thought of how much college football has changed, even from when he was in it. His senior year, coming back, came back for his senior season. He could have been a draft pick his junior season.
Yeah.
He didn't have NIL money.
No.
He didn't have... What he had is the potential glory of leading a team to a championship game, which they did make it to the championship game. Now, they got blown out, but they made it. It was just nice to see those old school athletes that had a true commitment to each other, their team. You would hope that coaches would have that commitment, but that's just not how it is. But when you're with a program like Notre Dame, coaches aren't leaving for a better opportunity. So that is one thing you could rest on. When you're making that decision, oh, I'm going to come back, you could say, well, I know my coach is coming back. I know he's going to be back. That's a nice reassurance. It used to be a nice reassurance. Things don't even matter anymore.
Yeah.
But now these players are making money.
Yeah. All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It is a Monday and post-Thanksgiving. Big thanks to our good friends at Wasatch Medical hanging out with us. And honestly, it's that time of year where a lot of people are looking at, you know, end of year, you know, trying to better yourself. New Year's resolutions are just right around the corner. If you're struggling with ED, it's not getting any better on its own. Now's the time to get taken care of.
Exactly. And bettering yourself, that's a good way to put it, because most guys with ED, a lot of guys with ED, I shouldn't say most, but a lot, really ignore the situation. So you can get yourself into a better situation by calling Wasatch Medical Clinic and getting your treatment for ED. We treat the root cause of ED. Now, guys have been taking pills for a long time. Those pills cause side effects, or they can at least. Also, timing issues for sure. And it doesn't really allow the spontaneity in the relationship. At Wasatch Medical Clinic, we have something called acoustic wave therapy. This is a new technology and an advancement in the treatment of the root cause of ED.
801-901-8000. That's the number to call. And it all starts with that free assessment.
Absolutely. So, yeah, guys, you can get the exam, the assessment, and the blood flow ultrasound absolutely free. In addition to that, a gift which can produce rapid results in the bedroom, but you have to call now. Don't put this off any longer. Again, 801-901-8000, 801-901-8000 at Wasatch Medical Clinic.
Let's go. 801-901-8000 right here on The Zone.
Once again,
championship game.
Kyle Whittingham and the Utes are back in the Pac-12 championship game.
Champs on three. One, two, three. Champs!
Looking for back-to-back Pac-12 titles and another trip to the Rose Bowl. Listen all week long as The Zone gets you ready for a battle in Las Vegas as the Utes square off against USC. Then catch the Ute pregame show this Friday at 5 with the postgame show immediately following the game. Your home for the best coverage of the Utes in the Pac-12 championship game is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your home for the best football coverage in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone.
Turn it up!
Utah, USC. It's the Pac-12 championship game as the Utes look to punch their ticket to another Rose Bowl. Your home for the best coverage of Utah football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. You're listening to Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Are you, you built your house not that long ago, so you're not dealing with a lot of issues with your house. I mean, I know you had to replace some furnace stuff.
But thank you, please.
But I'm telling you, man, like when it goes, like when something breaks in my house, four more things go right behind it.
What happened now? Wait, this is beyond the bathroom?
Oh, yeah, now beyond the bathroom. Bathroom's actually turned a corner. We're close to getting that thing done. Very happy about it. Found some really good people. It's been doing some great work.
That's good.
So very happy about that. Just a lot of plumbing issues we're working through. And it's like, for all you kids
out
there.
Wait a second. So you're dealing with things beyond.
Oh, yeah. Considerable things.
What's happened now?
All kinds of plumbing issues now. I mean, here's the thing. For all you kids out there, when you go buy a house, and I know, look, it's really hard to buy a house these days. I get it. But you're like, hey, look, we found this quaint, fun, old house in a really fun neighborhood, in a good neighborhood. Just know, when you buy old, stuff's not good. They did things different back in the 60s and 70s when they built those houses. And it seems like every time I have something to go wrong in the house and you have somebody come by, There's never a, oh, yeah, no, that's an easy fix, and we'll do this and this and this.
You could do that yourself.
Or like, you know.
Oh, let me leave you a tool.
Yeah, exactly. But it's always, every conversation I have with somebody that comes to my house to fix something, it always starts with, wow, we've never seen that before. Wow, that's a new one.
I'm telling you, Spencer Nelson should be held 100% responsible for all of this.
You know, this got back to him last time I saw him, and he's like, hey, so I heard Hans was roughing me up a little bit. Did I sell you a lemon?
Well, because remember, I was on the phone.
Yeah.
Or you had it on speaker. And he's like, well, that's not Hans's voice because Hans's voice is, it's more feminine.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
So that's how it's going to go.
Is that Spencer who sold you the lemon?
Yeah.
I love Spencer, but he took advantage of you.
No.
He should return upwards of $80,000 to $150,000 of what he charged you for that home.
That would be nice.
Hey, back when he was doing like that, remember when he was doing jazz pre-half and post? Nice. Did you guys like leave on good terms?
I would think so. I would think
that was
so.
Right around that time. Like, yeah, like no, something happened there.
That's
right?
Why I left the jazz broadcast is because he took the job up in Logan. So he sold his house and then I bought his house.
Hey, buddy. I've given you advice on this before, and you haven't taken my advice, so I'm kind of at a stall.
What's the advice? Sell the house?
No. I told you to get a cleansing. You need to bring in a shaman or...
I don't think ghosts are causing problems with the plumbing.
You've got ghosts. You've got different
things. If you need a shaman, I probably could find something for you.
I told you, my very, very close friend, my next-door neighbor... had some issues with her house.
Like physical issues with the house.
Physical and problems with people, because she was trying to sell it. Problems with people coming. There were problems. There were all kinds of problems with the house. She had it cleansed with a spiritual advisor, and it sold like the next day.
What's the worst that could happen? The problems keep happening? A lot.
Okay. Well, look,
get the cleanse, man.
Cleanse is there a patron saint of plumbing that I don't know about that I can pray to?
It's not about praying. It's about having somebody come in with some sage.
Saint Schmuckatelli, the patron saint of plumbing?
Some sage. I'm just seeing somebody. Yes.
Above the drain?
And then we need to Instagram this.
You've got evil spirits destroying that house. Mm. And I wonder if Spencer invited them in. Makes me wonder. Have you known him to be a Ouija board user?
No, but now I'm thinking there might have been something screwy going on.
It's not built on an old burial ground, right?
Well, no, it used to be a hospice, though. I didn't know that until after we bought
it.
Oh, yeah, yes.
No,
yes.
That's
the problem.
I fully admit my house is haunted, but I didn't think that ghosts could get in and wreck the plumbing in the house.
Oh, ghosts can wreck about anything.
Yeah, they can. They can. They're sneaky. That's why they're ghosts.
That's why they're ghosts.
They're sneaky. They're scary.
Just get that thing cleansed, bruh.
Ghosts are scary.
Who do I call to cleanse a house? Lloyd, do you know somebody?
Anybody out there listening? Well, do you know anybody? At 975 Hants, at Scotty G Zone, or at Lloyd Cole Zone. Hit us up on Twitter or 575-9663.
I did find a shaman like in the Lava Hot Springs area.
Is that
who
blessed
those rocks? Those rocks, yes. Oh, the dream catchers are a different thing.
No, the dream catchers were $4.99 at a gift store.
Yeah, try to get that in Santa Fe Plaza. No, that's not happening.
That's how I got yours.
I don't think
Alaska.
So. I believe it.
Hey,
trust me, I believe it. Yours is those are legit.
I don't appreciate you bringing back fertilization rocks and telling me to stick it in my pillow.
I did not. I didn't tell you that was a fertilization rock.
Yes, you did.
I said,
tell me that.
No. Okay, we're not going to go in this direction.
Yeah.
No.
You're trying to get Amanda pregnant again.
Okay, stop. Stop.
It's the last thing we need. Another kid in my house.
No, I...
Norberg?
I said it did other things. I didn't say it would do that.
What was the rock blessed to do?
You know what?
And get those wires reconnected down below.
Just tell me what the rock was blessed to do. Because from... Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Come on. I mean, we have other people that help with this too, but
801-901-8000. That's 801-901-8000.
So
is that free gift that gives you instantaneous results? Is it your rocks that you buy?
It's a blessed rock.
But you guys thought those rocks were just garbage and you probably already tossed them. So it's fine. Whatever.
No, actually, I didn't, but I didn't put it
Did
in my
you
put pillow. It,
you should have. Well, no, maybe you should have.
I've got this little keepsake box that's away from the bed.
Hopefully it's not by Buster.
I feel like
Gracie. Oh, I'd be so mad.
Oh, man.
Bunch of half Shih Tzu, half French Bulldog puppies.
What would that be?
Half Shih Tzu, half Bulldog.
What would that be?
That's what we're dealing with.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we got problems, buddy.
All right. Utah has punched their ticket, and they are on their way to the Rose Bowl. I don't know if they really punched their ticket or if it kind of came in the mail on a return to sender kind of way. Either way, they're going.
They're going. And good for them. So, Scotty, I just released 9 videos on KSLSports.com. Utah Film Review is out. I wasn't going to do it because it was Colorado, and I'd put some Oregon film together. And I thought, you know, with the loss to Oregon, nobody wants to see it. But and then the win against Colorado, I don't think anybody wants to see it. But then I thought, well, actually, now that Utah's headed to a Pac-12 championship game, I think Utah fans would be interested to see why and how.
Yeah.
So I put the videos together, and I've sent them out. There are some critiques from the Utah-Oregon game, and then there's just some specialization looks on the mostly the offensive side of the ball against Colorado. So you can go check out those films at kslsports.com. You've got the Hance Film Review bar that you can go check it out. It's also right there on the front page. But seriously, go watch these videos, and you can kind of get a feel for where Utah is. A couple things that we need to get to, and we'll hear from Kyle Whittingham a little bit later in the show. But Kyle Whittingham mentioned that Clark Phillips is, well, I don't know exactly how he mentioned it, but Clark Phillips didn't play against Colorado. My guess is it's 100% precautionary, and I would put my guess at 100% him playing in the Pac-12 championship. So that's a very important piece to what Utah is going to be able to do against USC. Got to have Clark Phillips on the field. No ifs, ands, or buts. You got to have that interception artist on the field. And I fully expect him to be there on Friday.
Excellent. So excellent news.
That's point number one. Point number two, Utah's offensive line has been the most stable position group through the entire season for the University of Utah. I think tight ends and fullbacks could be right there with them, but you've gone through so many different lineups and injuries, and you got different personnel. But it feels like anybody that they throw in there grabs big catches and goes for big gains. But I'd say that they'd be number two. I spent more time with the Utah offensive line in this film review because they deserved it.
Yeah,
so good. Go take a look at the film. Go have a little bit of fun with it. Get to know this Utah team a little bit better before you head down to Vegas on Friday.
You feel like there's going to be a big contingency? I mean, that place was a sea of red last year.
I think it's going to be a flood of red. Yeah.
It just doesn't feel like it's got the same kind of momentum.
It's going to be a flood of red.
I hope so.
And not the yellow and orange and type of red. Or
the,
whatever.
The crimson?
Yeah, what is?
No. What's burgundy?
Cobalt?
Oh, geez. That sounds like something USC would call it.
The crimson cobalt?
Bleh.
I don't know. It's yellow and what do they call it? What are the colors they call that, Lloyd? It's going to be true red and white. I do. I think that Utah fans are buying up these tickets, and I think they're going
to
be
out there.
I sure hope
so. And if you're a Utah fan, you need to buy up these tickets because that Utah fan base won them that game against USC in Salt Lake City. I firmly believe that. I know Cam Rising made some big plays down the stretch, but that home environment was so critical to Utah getting that win, and they're going to need the same thing in Las Vegas.
It was big.
Yeah.
It'll be a sold-out game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I do believe Utah fans are going to travel en masse. It's very close to the same distance between both.
Wait, what's... Oh, yeah. No, it's halfway. Yeah. Vegas is halfway between Salt Lake and...
Probably a little closer to
Los Angeles. Cardinal red and gold.
Cardinal red and gold?
Cardinal red and gold.
Okay.
Stanford's got to love that.
I'm sure.
Cardinal red and gold. LA's maybe an hour closer to Vegas.
Yeah.
USC, how excited are USC fans about what's going on?
Well, I would hope they would be crazy excited.
They better.
You're 11-1. You got a chance to win the conference championship. You win that game, you're probably in the college football playoff. Which, by the way, Frank Dolce said there's no path for USC to get in the playoff. And I said, no, there's a path.
Oh, there's a path.
Frank said, no, you're dumb. No, there was a path, and it's right there.
It's right in front of them. The path was and needed to be that they redeemed the loss against Utah by beating Utah in the Pac-12 championship game. It didn't look like that was going to be a possibility, but here we are.
Here we are.
So, Utah, go take a look at it. KSLSports.com. The film review is out. Some big plays. I've got the Yasmin play in there. I take a look at Jaquindon Jackson. Scotty, Jaquindon Jackson is going to be one of the keys to beating USC. Has to be.
Wow. How about this? Now, this comes from Twitter. Take it with a grain of salt, but I firmly believe it's true just because how Utah fans buy tickets. MJO tweets in, Utah sold out their allotment last night before the Crimson Club could even make purchases.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I think that it's going to sell extremely well. I think Utah fans love the idea of heading to Vegas for a championship game.
Yeah.
Whether you did it with being undefeated in Pac-12 play or you did it by needing UCLA to win, Washington to win, and Oregon State to win, and yourself to win. You needed four games to go your way in a two-day period. You needed four. That, you know how hard it is to hit a four-game parlay.
I know. That's what I was just going to say. That's like a desperate gambler needs to hit a four-game parlay to make mortgage, and he hit it.
He hit it for mortgage.
Yep.
Now,
not that I've ever been in that situation. Hands of Scotty.
I know of a former college coach that may have been.
Hey-oh, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Once again.
Championship game!
Kyle Whittingham and the Utes are back in the Pac-12 championship game.
Watch out, count three. One, two, three. Yeah!
Looking for back-to-back Pac-12 titles and another trip to the Rose Bowl. Listen all week long as The Zone gets you ready for a battle in Las Vegas as the Utes square off against USC. Then catch the Ute pregame show this Friday at 5 with the postgame show immediately following the game. Your home for the best coverage of the Utes in the Pac-12 championship game is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Number one.
Miss any part of the show?
Every moment of every show is available in podcast form
by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G,
presented by You First Credit Union
on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're all well. Hey, join Unrivaled Alex and Scott as they broadcast live from Bad Caddy Tuesday, November 29th from 3 to 6. That would be tomorrow. 451 South, 300 West in Salt Lake City. All right, what you may have missed right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. BYU gets a late night victory. They knock off Stanford. Then you've got Utah State, a tough loss against Boise State, but BYU will go bowling. Utah State will go bowling. So the college football season isn't quite over for those two schools. By the way, the Utah Jazz have now lost four in a row.
Yeah, not good. Not good for the Utah Jazz. We're going to talk a little bit about Weber State and what they've got in their next opponent, Montana State. How about we don't snap anything over any punters' heads and see what happens then? How does that sound?
We're not going to spot you 8 points in safeties.
How does that sound? Might be a good idea. Four snaps over the punter's head.
Yeah.
And I think everything has been really good since. But Weber State advances against Montana State. We'll take a little bit deeper look into that maybe in Sports Roulette. If it hits, it's on the wheel.
Yeah.
If it hits, then we'll get into that. Plenty of coaching positions open across the country. We'll keep you updated on all of those. Now, UNLV?
That one makes no sense to me. He had done a good job.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Luke Fickell's out at Cincinnati. Phil Montgomery out at Tulsa.
By the way,
they did fill the Arizona State.
Here's a name to keep an eye on that Tulsa job, by the way. Matt Wells.
Is that his home?
Close to.
Very close to his home.
Yeah.
Arizona State filled their coaching vacancy with Kenny Dillingham. Is Arizona State alone?
That's a really interesting hire, by the way. And I talked to some people close to Utah State, and Utah State went after him. He was in the mix when Blake Anderson got the job. Now, remember, Dillingham's only 32 years old right now. He was, I think he was 30 when Utah State approached him for the job. And it just, for whatever reason, just didn't connect. But I think Utah State was highly interested in him when they hired Blake Anderson.
Hmm.
And I talked to, in fact, I'll just go ahead.
32 years old.
Now he's 32. He was 30 when Utah State approached him about the job.
Wow.
Super young, but is highly thought of as a rising star in the ranks. And I talked to somebody that was close to the hiring process that talked to him on the Utah State job. And he said, this is a slam dunk hire for Arizona State.
Really?
Yeah.
We'll see.
I know.
I hope.
I do too.
Because I think that is a program that can rebuild. Stanford now open, David Shaw leaving. You saw Nebraska filled Scott Frost's spot with Matt Rhule.
Yep. And Wisconsin hired Luke Fickell.
You've got Southern Florida that's open, Auburn that's still open, Colorado that's still open, Georgia Tech that's still open. Got a lot of open opportunities.
Yeah, and there'll probably be more before it's all said and done. All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Mark's hanging out with us from Wasatch Medical. And, of course, look, now's the time. ED doesn't get better on its own. It's not this isn't something that you can improve just by doing a few push-ups and cutting out the carbs. That may have been the reason why you're down that path, but you can't reclaim that process on your own. And but you don't need needles. You don't need surgery. You don't need the little blue pill. You can fix this without those alternatives.
Absolutely. So, guys, you have to keep in mind, for most guys, ED is a blood flow problem, or lack thereof, I should say. And so you want to treat the root cause. You want to increase the blood flow. Pills don't do that. Pills will treat the symptoms. They also come with side effects and timing issues. Injections, obviously, a little bit of pain there. And again, just the symptoms. At Wasatch Medical Clinic, we have a breakthrough technology. It's called acoustic wave therapy, and this will treat the root cause of ED. It does so by sending gentle pressure waves to the blood vessels, through the skin, to the blood vessels. That helps to open up the blood vessels, giving an increase in blood flow where and when a guy needs it the most. So you can treat the root cause. You can get the spontaneity back, the function back into the relationship, and you don't have to do it with all the side effects.
801-901-8000. That's the number to call, 801-901-8000. The assessment is free. You got some gifts along the way. You really hooked people up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, guys, don't put it off any longer. If you've been kind of sweeping this under the rug a little bit, avoiding intimate situations, get it taken care of. This can impact not only your life, but your significant other's quality of life as well. So you want to get it taken care of. If you call Wasatch Medical Clinic right now, you are going to get the exam, the assessment, and even that blood flow ultrasound absolutely free. In addition to that, a gift which can produce rapid results in the bedroom. Give us a call now, Wasatch Medical Clinic, 801-901-8000. Again, 801-901-8000.
97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.